Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd's Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
Yes.
And we've got a little mini gust here, but I want to thank you, buddy, for your friendship and help me, and your advice on equipment. We'll be talking about that, too.
Well, it's a storm.
a bit of a gust.
Even in the Windy City.
Yeah, I'm heading to the Windy City in about 12 days, but I don't need that right now down here at Ferg's. Everything's going great.
Next time, we have to make sure that we bring in Mark's friend, and I think you met him, Mr. Patel, will be coming on the air with us next time.
Dr. Patel will?
Yes, he will. I'm gonna call him once we're done here today and see if he'll come down and be on the show with us next time.
Yeah, Dr. Patel has done a page for me several times here. This man could do so many impersonations, it blows you away. Dr. Patel has done a PA request for me to come to the DJ booth. My Scottish buddy has called me. And so always a lot of fun is the bottom line down here, folks, at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And I'm looking forward to continued relationship, bud.
Thanks. Congratulations. 1 year. Keep it going. And you better be here on Wednesday because there's a lot of places I've invited you to come down and have fun.
I don't
see you.
I might be living upstairs. Who knows?
He will be here. I'll be here. We'll all be here. It's going to be a fun night.
All right. Well, let's get Mark Lindsay over here to talk soccer.
Mr. Lindsay.
A footballer. I think we may want to put that down for a while. Here. A little breezy down here, folks. If you're listening, we're at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We're live down here each and every Saturday from 12 to 2, and now we're broadcasting live on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio network on the Tan Talk family of stations. And we talk everything from the positive perspective, from the peewees to the preps to the pros. And it doesn't get any better than Champa Bay down here. And Mark Lindsay, who's on his way to...
I'm supposed to have some headphones.
He's on his way to Denver.
Oh, shall I put these on?
Yeah, that'll be superb. You know, when the women... I'll probably get more of a women's audience now, because they love that British accent, my friend.
Oh, well.
And
is that right?
And I appreciate you coming down.
Is that British or Scottish? I'm not sure.
His is British. And
whatever works, you know.
So whatever works.
So you're headed to Denver.
Yes, I am. Yeah, this evening with my wife. Yep.
So let's talk about your career with the in the world of soccer. You were with the Rowdies several occasions, but before I start, this was kind of comical. I looked at the names of all the teams that you've been on. Rowdies,
yep.
Hurricane,
yep.
Surf, Earthquake, the T-Men, Blast. Those are some. I bet those were some cool logos on those jerseys.
Well, the one that I liked the most was the T-Men, because you know a lot of times.
What was the meaning of that? What town was that in?
Well, they were owned by Lipton Tea.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, so you'd go to a hotel or something on the road, and someone would come up and say, "Would you like a cup of coffee?" And I used to say, "No, I'm a T-Man."
What town was that out of?
That was out of, originally it was in Boston. Boston Tea Men,
Boston
right?
Tea Men.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it did make a lot of sense.
And then they didn't do very well in Boston, so they moved to Jacksonville, of all places. So
the Jacksonville Tea Men?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And they were only around for a year or two.
Now, let's go back to, being raised in England.
Mm.
And then, of course, your time with... Crystal Palace.
Oh yeah,
and then you came across the pond at a very young age.
Yeah,
and was that when soccer was just starting to launch across America in the bigger cities?
Yeah. So, basically, when I came to Tampa, I just turned 20, and the idea was the team that I played for, Crystal Palace in London. What they would do is they would have young players like myself come to places like America and get more playing time and get stronger, physically stronger. So that basically was the reason for coming over here. But when I arrived in Tampa, you could not find goals. In other words, there was no soccer being played in Tampa whatsoever. So what we used to do after we practiced was we would go and try and coach prospective coaches, and they were mostly parents of players that had somewhat of an interest.
So you guys were really at the grassroots here in the greater Tampa area. I applaud you for that.
And that is what makes – that's what really drives us, a lot of us ex-players that basically are still involved in youth soccer. I actually coach a U13 team, or two teams actually, in Tampa.
How fortunate are they to have you as a coach at that level? That's superb.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I mean,
I would.
I mean, it's great. It's great to be around young people, and you know, and try and teach them nuances. You know, some of the things that are between your ears rather than physically. You know, the game is a very demanding game, and I think that, you know, with the advent of technology nowadays, I mean, a lot of people think that they can just watch a couple of YouTubes and jump up and be a great player. Unfortunately, as you well know, it doesn't take, you know, it takes a lot more time and energy and commitment to even dream about playing soccer.
As I said, as we're having a conversation with Mark Lindsay, former Tampa Bay Rowdy, and played all over the world and the United States in the heyday of the explosion of soccer in America. And, you know, you're heading to Denver, and they're lobbying hard for that World Cup, as is Orlando.
Yeah, 2024, yeah. So, I think that they've got a great chance. In fact, back in 1994, when the World Cup was here, there were five games that were played in Orlando, and I had four tickets to each of those games. And it was unbelievable. The interesting thing about it is that a lot of these games are being played during the daytime. In terms of being able to get pitched around the world, because obviously you've got a global audience that are watching the World Cup.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we were playing a lot of games like in July at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, that that presents a major problem because, like, as an example, I went and watched Mexico versus Northern Ireland. So the Irish guys, they come out.
Oh, my word.
And they just start running around like as if they were back in Ireland, you know, because they play in, you know, 50, 40, 30 degree temperatures most of the time. They come over here and it's like 110 degrees inside these stadiums.
And probably dropping like flies.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's exactly what happened. I mean, the Mexicans just kept possession of the ball. The Irish guys were running around like lunatics. And, you know, they just...
Well, I'm part Irish. We are lunatics. I can assure you that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very fascinating to watch World Cups, the way they unravel.
Now, let's go to the, because obviously right now, tonight, the big game, Rowdies against Louisville City.
Yes.
And then the next step is the championship.
Yeah, the final, yeah. Yeah, it's really, really exciting. I wasn't able to go to last week's game, but the one before that, the Tulsa game, you know, it was a fantastic atmosphere at the stadium. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, awesome tonight. I think they've got a great chance of going all the way. I really do, because they're very strong down the middle of the field, and I basically mean the backbone of the field, the playing area.
Okay.
So you've got a goalkeeper, you've got a central defender, you've got a central midfield player, and a centre forward. Down the middle is where they're really, really strong.
You know, when you were talking about when you got here and you had to educate parents on the game.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do with me now, because I don't know the rules. I respect the sport because, oh my God, you know, I was a track guy. I told you that.
Yes.
With some Brits. Yeah. You're in better shape than track guys, because at least they run, you know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 8, 10, and they're done.
Well,
you're running for what's the total time in the game?
Typical about 8 miles. You know, in 90 minutes, and you know, with one break,
and that's slow.
But you know, obviously, what you're looking at is the conditioning, right? So Usain Bolt, for instance, you know, he's the fastest player in runner in the world over 100 meters, but you can't run a marathon. I mean, he's just not conditioned for that.
And he loves soccer.
Oh, he does. Yeah, a lot of basketball players and a lot of football players and you know, a lot of obviously Canadian National Hockey League players, they love playing the sport of soccer. You know, it's easy. You know, you just get a ball and kick it around. That's it.
Well, yeah, the entry level for that sport is easy, and you've seen it. And this is a reality across America. And we saw this evolution going to take place. Little league fields are tough to find.
Absolutely.
And because kids migrated to soccer. Mm. Now, I had my boys play soccer at a young age, only because they're basketball, football, and what have you. But for the footwork. For young kids, it's superb, boys and girls for their footwork, even if they don't continue to play soccer beyond, you know, the peewees.
It's a very interesting topic, and I'll go back to the youth coaching that I'm doing at the moment, and I've actually got some meetings. A lot of coaches are somewhat insecure because they want to coach the kids, but they don't want to interact with the kids' parents.
I don't blame them sometimes.
I'm thinking, you know, what's going on now? My club, Tampa Rangers, we're affiliated with the MLS, you know, Major League Soccer group. And part of their focus is getting parents more and more involved with their kids in the sport.
Why are they afraid to get the parents involved? I mean, my granddaughter's five. She's in soccer now since she was four. But, you know, all the parents are there, but literally not participating. Or, you know, is there a way to get the parents to understand the game? Because I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think you know, quite frankly, a lot of coaches are kind of insecure, a little bit insecure from a coaching perspective. There's lots of elements, you know, to all the sports, right? But I think that, in fact, I was just talking to some of my parents the other day, and I was saying to them, look, you know, we're going to have a meeting with you and your son, and we're going to go over 12 what I call brilliant basic elements of the game. You know, so things like balance, you know, you was talking about that, Mike. You know, balance is very important. Communication in a soccer game is much more important than, let's say, playing football. You know, in football, the coach, you know, every 15 seconds, the coach is able to say, look, this is what we're going to run. This is what we're going to do. This is where you go. You don't have to speak. You just have to listen to what the quarterback says. And you just got to, the timing's got to be excellent. Well, in soccer, it just keeps on perpetually going. So the problem is you've got to have people on the field that can communicate with their players so that it's not up to the coach trying to yell down the field 100 yards.
It's the players and finally getting to know each other.
But is it more like sign language, you know, like when you're seeing the baseball players and the coaches and they're doing the sign language stuff? I mean, is that kind of what it's like on the field? Because they can't hear, can they, screaming?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can communicate, but it isn't sign language. There are some sort of really nasty sign
language. There might be the middle finger one once in a while.
Yeah, I would say
hey,
so.
Hey, coach.
I would
guess
say
what?
So. Yeah, but the really basically what you got is like, you know, like so for instance, you know, your quarterback, right, in NFL. So your quarterback, you know, when he's calling out the play, everybody can hear what he's saying on the field, you know. So and then he does an audible or something like that. In soccer, you basically got to have almost like multiple coaches. So, you know, like for instance, like, you know, in the back line, the midfield line and the forward line, you need to have one guy in each of those, which, you know, which
mini captain.
We call them leaders. If you want to be a leader, and the irony of all of this stuff is that they go home and they're very verbal in their own homes. But then when they come, and I'm talking about 12-year-old kids now, I'm not talking about, you know, 30-year-old people, but, you know, they go home and, you know, they tell their brothers and sisters off and, you know, they lash back at the parents. They come out on the field and they don't say
they
anything.
They freeze up.
They freeze.
Oh, yeah. You see that sometimes when we do interviews.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about the evolution of the Rowdies.
Yeah.
And your first, you're with them three different times. Is that correct?
Well, I was with them. I played the inaugural year in 1975. I was there 76 and 77. And then I left just before the 78 season started. And then I came back and played in 1984, which was the last season of the National NASL. Yeah. So, and then after that, I kind of, I went to work. I worked for an IT company. But I used to go to the indoor stadium just here. And I'd turn up and just play for them if they needed anybody. It was just like, you know, semi-professional.
Well, but you're still in the game and having a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Now, for our audiences, and there's a lot of us, that aren't familiar with the structure of the great game of soccer. As I said, my son actually is in England right now, and he played football, but he preferred now, as he gotten older, to been a footballer. And I told you.
I saw it. I've got it. Yeah, I'm looking at it. Tottenham Hotspur. I've got my shirt on.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we'll have to get a picture.
Yeah.
Now, everybody that's looked at this thought that was actually a basketball. But that's the U.S. thought process.
Yes. So basically, what we're looking at here is a cap, right? Your son's baseball cap, and it's got a cockerel standing on top of a ball that looks like a basketball.
Now, what's a cockerel?
A cockerel's a bird.
Yeah, it's like a rooster, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So just going back to what we were talking about right at the very beginning. So one of the things I was talking to our friend over there, Cameron.
Cameron, yes.
And I was telling him that you know, geographically, England fits into Florida geographically, right?
Oh, without a shadow of doubt.
Oh yeah. So now we have 92 professional teams in English football, and they all get relegated and promoted, three up, three down, and all this kind of stuff. About 6 months ago, there was a huge push from a lot of European teams
that
tried to create their own, if you like,
was
NFL.
Was that like a power grab?
Oh, yeah. So what they tried to do is they tried to become like the NFL is. You've got 32 owners. They never get relegated. They never get promoted. You know, they just keep on playing every year. It's the same group of teams. Obviously, you look at the origins of our sport, and a lot of it boils down to, like, for instance, in England, cricket teams. Back in the turn of the century, it used to be cricket teams that had soccer teams just to get the cricket players through the winter time, but they were predominantly cricket teams.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, when that went down last year, I was watching it closely. My son wants to have conversations. You know, we had a coaching change, and I'm on top of it. I'm watching CBS soccer, and I don't know a damn thing. But that did not go over well throughout England. I mean, there was protest, and it got a little dicey, a little violent.
Well, you have to look at the origins of the sport. I mean, so basically, a lot of these clubs, a lot of these 92 teams, and there's a huge amount more than just those 92 teams. There's semi-professional teams as well. But they all basically come from parishes. They come from, like, just local little churches. So in London, for instance, there's probably a dozen professional teams that play in those in the top couple of tiers of football. You know, so you've got families that don't like each other. You know, the mum doesn't like the dad, the brother don't like the sister, cousins don't like each other. I mean, it's just, like, brutal.
Bloodbath.
It is. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
All right, now, our listening audience, in fact, all two of them down here, my good friends Ken and Sherry, we have a question. Because Alex went to a Rowdies game the other day.
Yeah.
And what do they call the start? You know, I always say, and the lightning start, and it's a puck drop.
Yeah, it's not a drop into the puck.
It's a kickoff.
It's a kickoff, yeah.
Kickoff.
Yeah.
He said it was first pitch.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
a baseball guy.
Oh, yeah, no.
I said, there's no way in God's green earth that it's first pitch.
No, they don't pitch. Well, you know, the one thing I've never quite understood about the NFL is, why do they call it football?
They stole it from you guys.
I mean,
George,
listen. I mean, like, let's face it. I mean, how many seconds, you know, from the snap to the kick, do you kick a ball?
You don't, with the exception of punt, kickoff, and extra points and field goals.
That's right.
So the history of the NFL, which was founded by George Halas.
Yep.
George Halas stole everything. If you look at the Chicago Bears, and you'll love this, if you look at the Chicago Bears colors, they're the same colors as the University of Illinois.
Oh.
And in those days, college football was king. The University of Chicago, that C.
Yep.
They were a D1 powerhouse.
Okay.
He stole that, too. They didn't have rights in those days.
Is that
and
right?
And he created the Bears uniforms from the University of Chicago and the Illinois, and he was such a visionary. He figured that fan base may start following because their colors are on these hacks out there playing pro football.
That's
so
amazing.
They probably stole that from across the pond, too.
That is amazing. I didn't know that, actually.
I didn't know that until I visited the University of Chicago my son.
I did play in the Coliseum up there, though.
Did you?
Yeah, years ago when they had the big, at the end, of, you know, they had the big pillars and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. What's the coolest venue you've played in?
Well, a couple, really. The original Yankee Stadium was a great
I was treat. There. I love that stadium.
Great
God
treat.
Rest it.
Yeah, I loved it.
Demolishing.
Chicago,
Wrigley Field?
Wrigley Field.
You played in Wrigley?
Yeah, I
used to work for the Cubs organization. I love Wrigley.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And the Rose Bowl, I played in the Rose Bowl as well.
Been to a Rose Bowl game? You played in some great venues.
Very fortunate. Very, very fortunate, yeah.
Okay, now, people ask, are the Rowdies like AAA to a Major League Baseball team if you're looking at the hierarchy of soccer?
Okay, so...
to go? What weren't they trying to go MLB? They were trying to go
not
into
MLB.
I mean,
MLS. That'd be quite a transition.
MLS, blonde left hand. Yeah,
I think they had a greater chance of getting into the MLB, but the MLS was.
Yeah, is Bill Edwards still part of the team ownership or?
I do believe he goes to the games, but I don't believe he's involved in the ownership anymore. But
the Rays are the owners now.
Yeah.
He was trying to make it MLS at that time. I know a few years ago when I got invited to a party, they were trying to make the announcement and it didn't happen.
It's a very, very expensive proposition to get into the MLS. I think that, and I'm not sure of the numbers now, but it's pushing like $200 million or something like that to get into the MLS.
So MLS, and then you would have the Rowdies League if you're rating levels of talent?
Yeah, so you have the MLS, and then there's two USL leagues. And I believe we're in the second of the two.
Okay.
Right, so you know, you've got to look. Tiers of sports are kind of unique to themselves, right? So, you know, I went along and watched them play a couple of weeks ago, and I thought that they played some superb soccer. It doesn't matter what league you're in, if you can perform, you know, you can entertain and please ex-players like myself. And I thought that they did that when they played against Tulsa, and they beat Tulsa 6-2 a couple of weeks ago. They were fantastic. I tell you, they got some really, really good players. And you know, I think we're just fortunate to have a coach like we have at the moment in Neil Collins. He's done a great job, and I think he's blended all these players together, and the results are coming. And you know, the most important thing about it is, in my opinion, is don't give up goals, because if you don't give up goals, you're never going to lose games. And I think he's really worked very, very hard on defending.
So defense wins championships in any sport.
Absolutely. They've got a kid there called Lasso, and I call him a kid because I think he's about 6'4", 6'5". He's a big kid. And, you know, and nothing much gets past him. And I think they're very strong in the midfield as well. And of course, you know, they've got DeSanto, who's been scoring goals like they're going out of fashion. So I think that they've got a great chance of going all the way and winning it.
Let me ask you this. A lot of people have asked me, and I said, I can't give you the answer, and now you're going to be my expert to get us updated here in the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection in the world of soccer. What's the percentage of Americans playing versus international?
Yeah, I was going to ask
you. Oh, yeah. You're talking about playing in a professional team in America?
Well, playing the Rowdies roster.
Yeah. That's a really, really good question. I mean, you know, I think that the standard, the American player, the standard is actually getting improving leaps and bounds every year. We're now starting to see the reverse, because what's happening is if you get a really good American player, let's take like the best player in America right now is Pulisic, right? He plays for Chelsea in England, in London. You know, so if
our best players are going over there,
absolutely.
And then we're grabbing from all over the globe.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. So it's a very difficult question to answer. Because if you are a good quality player, you probably don't want to play in the MLS. I mean, it's candid, but that's dog eat dog, you know. So they go over to Europe, they go to Germany, they go to England, they go all over the place. But when they play World Cup games, like they're going through right now, many of those players are coming in from other countries. Although they're American citizens, they're coming in from all over the world.
He's footballer Mark Lindsay. He's got an incredible career in the world of soccer. And another question that the novice guy sitting at the bar here asked, what kind of money does a Rowdies players make?
About the same as my Social Security.
Well, I can concur with that. However, so it's minor league wages, and they're busting their tail to get to the next level.
Oh, absolutely. That's what everything's about. I mean, there's no...
So they're working two jobs. They're keeping their day job and playing for the Rowdies.
I don't think it's that bad. Oh, okay. You know, I don't think...
Well, the NFL used to be that way back in the day.
Yeah.
So did baseball.
Yeah.
And so was the minor leagues in some cases. So I'm glad.
So, Mike, I've got to tell you this, right? So I went to watch, and there's not many people that can claim this. I went to watch the very first Buccaneers game played ever.
Well, you know, did Mark Ferguson, who will be on here in a minute. You guys can share stories.
It was at Tampa Stadium, and it was against Miami Dolphins. Steve Spurrier.
Was it really?
Yeah. I went to that game. It was a preseason game, by the way.
So you did embrace the game of football when you moved here.
Oh, absolutely. Larry Zonka and all those guys. I mean, yeah, fantastic.
So you're a Dolphins fan? I'm gathering.
No.
Buccaneers
now.
I'm
just using him because I'm trying to tell you how knowledgeable I am.
Well, you are knowledgeable.
That's the only guy I
know.
On
football and footballers. All right. What was one of your favorite memories of the years of and I know it's tough to pin down. Just one of, I'm sure, a handful of your memories in the great game of soccer.
Okay, so the very first thing, right, I come to America, I'm 20 years old. We make it to the final of the North American Soccer League, which was being played in San Jose, California. We get to a hotel, and in the hotel, sitting down, is the great Pelé.
Pelé?
Yeah, Pelé sitting there. So it's about 8 o'clock California time, which is about 3 o'clock in the morning in England. I pick the phone up and I call my dad in London, and he goes, "What's up, son?" I said, "Dad, I'm going to have lunch or dinner with Pelé." and he goes,
"The greatest soccer player in the world."
And he goes, "Mark," he says, "you know what the time is, right?" So I go, "Like, what is it?" He says, "It's 3 o'clock. Call me later."
Well, how exciting was that for you? That'd be like a young kid getting to have lunch with Tom Brady right now.
Oh, no question about it. I mean,
Jordan.
He was the greatest player of all time. There's no question about it. I had the good fortune of playing against him 6 times. The first time we played against the Cosmos back then in those days, he played for New York Cosmos.
And that's why those stadiums were packed, because Pelé was playing in that.
Well, we had the first time we played against him was in 1976. We had 44,000 at Tampa Stadium, and that was only because...
Tampa Stadium for soccer?
Yeah. Well, the 56,000 was the biggest crowd we ever had then. But the sides, you know, the sombrero, it just had two sides, 22,000 on either side. In 1976, they built the end zones on the sombrero, which made it then 72,000 total. In 1981, I was actually playing in California. You mentioned earlier on the California Surf. There was 56,000, almost 57,000.
Is that in the Rose Bowl?
No. This is Tampa Stadium.
Oh, Tampa Stadium.
Yeah.
And he came back and played.
Yeah, there was 57,000 for that game.
Mark Lindsay, Mark Ferguson.
And, hey, how you doing, Mark?
He went to the first Bucks game,
ever.
Preseason game ever.
Yeah, against Miami Dolphins.
Well, Mark, I certainly appreciate you coming down here.
It's been a pleasure. We've been talking about this all summer.
I know.
Actually.
Safe travels to Denver, my third favorite place on the map.
Yeah.
And you said you got family. I've got family. There's Peter. We can talk a little. Ferg's 28 years with Peter there.
But yeah.
Have a safe trip, my friend. I appreciate you taking the time to come down and educate us on soccer, something that we need to get on top of.
Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm sorry it's taken so long to get together, but it's been fun.
No apologies. Well worth the wait.
All right, take care.
Thank you, my friend.
Right, bye-bye.
Hand that microphone to Mark as we talk the 29th anniversary.
Yeah, congratulations.
You know, I had a couple of gals that had my last name, and I never get 29 with either one of them. It's pretty instrumental. In fact, your anniversary to Sherry pretty close to the same number.
Correct.
All right, so let's talk about the vision of the place where the beer was warm and then the food was cold in 1992.
Well, I really had no idea going into the business I did. I was a poor school teacher teaching phys ed and health. And I just had a dream of owning a small sports bar. And somehow I talked 30 friends into putting money up with me, and we were able to buy the property. Was the most important thing we did.
You know, it probably pays off being the homecoming king at Lakewood High. You have 30 friends.
Luckily, they had a little bit of money. But it's been a good ride, and it was very hard the first couple years. And I'll tell you right now, I want to thank the Tampa Bay Lightning, because they moved into Tropicana Field, which was a Suncoast Dome back then, and they renamed it to the Thunderdome. But that 3.5 years of hockey saved us until baseball was announced, and then baseball came in a couple of years after that.
We were talking, Mac and I, you should have seen Mac's display here a little bit earlier. Could have been a comedy show. But what year was the Final Four here?
98.
And he told the story about running out of beer the first night.
Yep.
And then they brought four semis and you ran out of beer that time.
Second night, yeah, it was incredible.
Oh my gosh! How many people did they have for the Final Four over there?
I think it was
20,000.
No. It was it was 38,000, 40,000.
Holy moly!
Yeah.
And the basketball fan that you are, I'm sure you went over every day.
Oh, it was great. The first year we had the Sweet 16, and then we had we had the first and second round, and Sweet 16, and then we had the Final Four. So it's three great years in a row.
It's just not a big enough venue anymore, Amalie Arena, but it would be great to see it come back here, being Champa Bay. I just don't think that you'll be in arenas that size ever again, NCAA.
All the smaller ones they hold for first and second round. Everything after that has to be really big.
All right, so the Lightning helped you out for 3.5 years.
Yep.
Then arena football was a big injection. Your buddy Billy McGee was around for both of those, and we'll have Billy here next week. But so you had those two things were monumental moves for you too.
Yep. Arena football was from day one, and they were here, like 8 times a year. And I got engaged at one of the games in front of 33,000 people.
Mac and I talked about that. He said he actually was the DJ at your wedding.
That's correct. That's correct.
I bet that was an interesting DJ evening with Madman Mac. He does a superb job for you.
We're always having fun.
So arena football, and then what year was it when the Devil Rays made their announcement? 96?
95, and then we had to wait three and a half years for the first pitch. And then that changed everybody's life. It changed St. Pete. We went from a small city
to
a major league city, all because of the Rays. And we're so thankful to have them here, and we're going to keep them here also.
All right, so let's talk about this building through that evolution. And now you're gracious enough to let me be up in the old perch, which was your office. Based on the teams that came in, did you go when they made the announcement, Devil Rays, did you go to the second floor, or did you already have the second floor?
No, we already had it. We went from 75 seats, beer and wine, and then we opened the back room up. And then when baseball was announced, we built the front room and a patio with a tent. The first year, we had a tent over the patio.
Wow.
It was a real circus.
Hey, there's times when I'm here helping out before games, and it rains back there.
Yep.
It seems like you're still in a tent.
Yeah, it does. It does. But then second year of baseball, we were able to put a metal roof over the patio, and it's been a big help.
Well, your launch into the entertainment world, you've had some great concerts down here over the years, and Gallagher, that was a monumental night, I'm sure.
But one of the biggest things we ever did was at the dog park. There's so many people around here with dogs, and they all love bringing them here. You can have them on a leash, but we also have a 2,000-square-foot area that you can bring your dog and let them play with other dogs. People really appreciate that.
Coming from Iowa, I did not realize that people were so passionate. There's other words I could use, but passionate about their dogs until I came down here to work for you. And I'm looking at these dogs and thinking, what the hell? And then you made the announcement about a dog park. I thought, there goes the neighborhood. Sports is going away. It's got a dog park being opened up down there. And now I go out there and look, dogs are running. They're having more fun than the owners.
We even have a big screen TV inside the dog park for the dogs to watch a game.
Put it on the dog channel.
And their owners.
All right. Over the years, we're talking to Mark Ferguson here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tan Talk family of stations on our own network now. And you've met some incredible athletes over the years. What was one of your favorite interactions with an athlete or personality that we'd recognize?
Craig Sager.
Tell the Craig Sager story, because this audience in the three counties hasn't heard it. I think this is a superb story.
Well, most people don't know, but he's known for basketball and his
that was
great
his claim
outfits,
to fame, yeah.
But his real claim to
Mac
fame
was dressed like him today.
Was when Hank Aaron hit the home run to break the record. Craig Sager was there at home plate, and he was the first person to interview him. Most people don't know that. But he was a young kid. He jumped the fence. He did work for a Sarasota media outlet, and he was able to jump the fence and get there to home plate and talk to Hank Aaron when he broke the record. unbelievable.
You know, when you told me that, I have watched that. Well, he passed last year, and then, of course, the Atlanta Braves winning the World Series, and they show that many times. But you can see.
Oh, yeah,
and he didn't even have an accredited media pass. Can you imagine today's world? He'd have been
tackled,
yanked out of there. But that's the old Fulton County Stadium. That was an interesting place anyway. But and what a superb job. But your friendship continued then.
Yeah, I met him in Fort Myers when I played baseball down there and went to college. And he went away to Houston for a while. Then he went to Atlanta. And when we had the baseball playoffs, he was always here with TNT, you know, Turner Network. And he would come by and say hi and go do the games. And he was a funny guy. He drank a lot of beer with me. He was always a lot of fun.
God rest his soul. Just a superb guy. And my buddy Jeff Lance, who used to work with the Orioles in communications, now he's with MLB. He invited him over one time in Baltimore with his wife to have dinner. Sager was, you know, mobile man. And every Christmas, they got a card after that from the Sagers.
Oh.
And he did that for anybody that did a favor to the guy.
He was so positive and such a great outlook on life. I was just glad to know him and have him in our lifetime to meet him and have some good laughs with him.
Hey, by the way, your Lakewood High team is on a roll.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
My next conversation is going to be with Trisha Snyder, and she's a Lakewood. What's your mascot? Blue Devils or something crazy?
Spartans.
Spartans.
We're the Spartans.
You told me that before. The Spartans. Yeah.
Yep. We're going to round two in the state tournament.
Some impressive athletes have come out of Lakewood.
Oh, yeah. Coach Nimes can tell you about that. Coach who works here.
He's fishing today.
And
I say fish. Have fun. You don't even come up here.
He had some great players that turned pro, so he kind of started the program, and then it's just been on fire ever since.
Well, in the 29 years, what's the most famous athlete that actually sat at the bar? And Trisha probably can share that with me and throw down a few cold ones.
I would say Mike Allstott would be the most famous.
And he's doing so many great things for the community now. You know, coaching at the high school level, just a stand-up human being. Played at Purdue and then obviously got himself a Super Bowl championship.
He does so many things for charities. It's unbelievable.
I think they won last night, Northeast.
They did. Northside Christian. They did win.
Yeah, good.
So they're moving on.
Yeah, well, I applaud him. Of course, none of this would have continued for 29 years if it wasn't for your lovely bride. And I tried to get her on the microphone. I never seen anybody run so fast in my life.
She doesn't like to speak on the microphone.
She doesn't like the limelight. Well, when I pulled up, she had a silver ball over her shoulder.
Ball.
Well, I said, you look like you had the weight of the world on your shoulder. She goes, it's my disco ball. I go, oh, my God. I bet that baby has some memories.
No, the first year that we opened up, it was really an unbelievable year. We opened the bar. We had a baby, and then we got married all within a year and a half. So a lot of changes in my life.
You think? You went from a bar owner, just a sports guy. The next thing you know, life becomes
changes.
Real.
And now it's 29 years later. It just seems like yesterday, right, Trish?
and you've got Jake working for you now, your son, graduating from Florida State.
Yep. He's a manager now, and he's doing a good job, as all the managers are. I appreciate everybody that ever worked for us. Pete, we've had so many good people came through here, and 29 years, there's been a lot of them.
Well, and it's become the iconic sports bar, I would say, in all of Florida. Because when I post something in our social media, friends from all over the country respond, yeah, I stopped at Ferg's. I always have to make a stop at Ferg's, even if they don't go into a Rays game. And you got to be proud of that.
I'm very proud of it. We're kind of like the middle of the city. So we get people from South St. Pete, North St. Pete, East St. Pete, West St. Pete. And one of the best things I ever did when we redid the Globe and we have our sign out front, everybody loves that Ferg's World famous sign that spins and lights up.
And it's Ferg's World. Well, you know what? I appreciate everything you've done for us. And the future's so bright. We got to wear shades. We're going to be doing video upstairs. More radio, and always promoting Ferg's, and I appreciate everything you've done for us.
Thank you very much. We live in a great city, and we are working on keeping the Rays right here in St. Pete.
That's the bottom line. Now, don't you think we should talk to the second longest
yes,
bartender?
Of course.
I'm not trying to age you, Trish. I want a couple of funny stories. You got any Ferg stories as we celebrate the 29th anniversary?
She did get on the bar one night and get engaged on the bar one night a little while ago. Here you go, Trish.
Peter could probably tell me many stories about you. Yeah. By the way, I've been waiting for this conversation. So she can break down her golf game, right? How is your golf game? Every time I ask you that, you say, surprisingly good.
Well, it was wet last Friday. Two weeks ago, we had our tournament.
Did you guys end up having it?
We did, rain or shine, yeah.
All right, well, I bet there's
a
few adult beverages being consumed.
Quite a few.
To survive. All right, so how many years have you been down here at Ferg's?
It'll be 28 in March. So.
You're not that old.
I know. Well, you know, I started here when I was 5.
Had a girl. So over the years, guys coming up to the bar, and you do one of those double takes. Who are some of the people, it doesn't have to be a guy, obviously, that have come into Ferg's that you're just shocked they're in Ferg's?
Well, you asked Ferg about famous people, and of course, Mike Allstott is a local, but a funny story way back when, my ex-husband collected, we used to serve our food on Frisbees here in the beginning.
Frisbees?
Yeah.
Did you Frisbee the food over?
Yeah.
He said it was cold, so and maybe this will warm it up a little bit.
Right. So my ex-husband had a habit of, he would get autographs on the Frisbees if he ever saw anybody in here. So I was working one night. I mean, this is over 20 years ago. But anyway, one of the barbacks said, you need to go get that guy's autograph at the bar. And I go, who is that guy? And he goes, it's, I thought I forgot his name now. Yankees. Come on.
Jeter.
Derek.
Yeah, I bailed you out there.
Thank you.
It was Derek Jeter?
It was Derek Jeter sitting at the bar. And I'm like, can I get your autograph on here? He's like, sure. And I was like.
He had been young.
Yeah. I didn't even know who he was. So you're not. I would know now.
Yeah, but you're not a Yankee fan. Now, right. Now, being around sports for 20-some years, of course, your kids all played sports. You're athletic. But I bet that was quite the.
It was.
Was he gracious in signing it?
Yeah, he was very nice. Very nice. And it was, like you said, like very young. But it was kind of a cool thing. Once I figured out who he was.
Joe Madden ever get over here?
I don't know if I've seen. I don't know. Like, the players used to come. The earlier players used to come over after the games back when we were smaller, too.
Sure.
And then once the downtown built up, the downtown was kind of like where everybody went, to the bigger clubs. And a lot of them live in Tampa, so they would go over to Tampa.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And some places where they can possibly hide away.
Right.
If you're an athlete.
Right. Or, you know, like, they want to be pampered and treated. You know, we are what we are. You know.
Equal opportunity here.
Right, right.
Okay, so what are some of the most humorous things that have happened while you're here?
So
besides you on the bar.
Well, Ferg was with me, so don't let him fool you. I have many pictures of Ferg on the bar dancing late night and parties and Christmas parties and stuff. I remember when I first started here. So I started in March, and it was like, I don't know, a couple months after I started here, and I wore a gator hat to work.
And Mark Ferguson, for you, our audience, graduated from Florida State, and he bleeds Seminole.
Correct. So he goes.
Not a good move on your part, but you're at it again.
He goes, you can't wear that here. And I go, I'm so sorry. Like, I felt so bad. And then once football season started, I had worked here now about 6 months, and I said, screw this, I'm wearing my Gator stuff. And ever since, you know, we always have this rivalry. And he goes, I'm cheering for your Gators. I go, Ferg, do not cheer. Every time you cheer for my Gators, we lose. Don't do it. And we need a lot of prayers today because Missouri is going to be a tough one.
You're having a tough year, actually.
Yeah, we are. All right, started out good.
Let's talk about entertainment, Trish.
Okay.
And as we take a trip down memory lane on the 29th anniversary week of Ferg Sports Bar and Grill right down here on 13th and Central. And our expanded audience, if you haven't been here and you're a sports fan or you just want to come and see what's happening in downtown St. Pete, you'll be shocked. Come on down to Ferg's. But this week, this Wednesday, is the 29th anniversary. Now, you were here for Gallagher. How cool was that?
I was here. I did not see the show. We had my
girlfriend. Oh, you were bartending?
No, my girlfriends and I had made plans Peter actually was here for it, and I heard nothing but fun things. I heard he was great. A lot of people, the younger people, didn't even know who Gallagher was. Of course, I did, but that was a fun night. And I guess he saved all the, you know, smashing stuff until the very end. So you didn't get all dirty until the very last maybe 20-30 minutes of the show.
Well, that's Mark Ferguson, P.T. Barnum. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Every time you turn around,
right?
How many times has this front room changed its look?
Well, when I started here, it didn't exist.
Okay, so it went from didn't exist.
Right.
They had mini bowling.
We had the mini bowling. That was the latest thing. Before that, it was we called it the game room because originally we had a bunch of games and video games and pinball and that kind of stuff in there. And then we ended up using it a lot for, it was a great place for private parties because it was, you know, about 50 people was comfortable in there. But it's a nice little private room where you can shut the doors and have your own little space.
So you met your main man here, Peter.
I did.
Bergs has been good to you.
Bergs has been good to me.
But you've been good to them. I know how all the regulars, if you left here, or when you do leave here, they're going to leave here. I mean, they come. I've seen them in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It's like Cheers here.
Right.
Her afternoon gang is like Cheers.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And you know all their nuances. You know when to cut them off. When when they're having a bad day, good day, that's the sign of a great bartender. And you and Coach certainly are two. I don't want to say this wrong. Two old pros. That means
we are the two longest
service
employees here.
No,
yeah.
you get the old school service and develop a rapport with the people.
Right.
And it's good for tips.
Right. Yeah, it helps. You know.
All right, dear. Well, I appreciate you taking a little time to share some of your memories.
It's been a great. I mean, our anniversary party is always a big deal. A lot of the old-time regulars that you see them once a year, and that's a lot of times when they come in. So it's good to see old faces and old friends, and it's a fun
time. It's like
time.
A family reunion.
It kind of is, yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about doing an OG.
And people don't fight.
Usually not, yeah.
Yeah, family, yeah. And then that potential exists anytime you've got alcohol opposing opinions. That's just life.
Yeah. But, yeah, Berg's is a great place, and it is the largest sports bar in the state of Florida, just so you know.
Okay, so I got to keep putting that plug in.
Yeah.
We're up to 95 televisions. Every time I say it, he'll go. Every time you turn around, there's a TV. There'll be TVs in the bathroom pretty soon.
There are TVs in the bathroom, actually.
Which bathroom?
In the ladies' room, there. Well,
the men don't get that.
Yeah, there was one in there.
Well, there's not now.
I got to
voice my complaint.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys get... That's not right. Because half the women in there don't care about it anyway.
I know.
They're here to be seen.
It's usually not on, but there has been one in both bathrooms. So.
All right, young lady. Well, thank you again for...
Thank you.
And looking forward to the party Wednesday.
Woohoo!
Do you have to work?
No, actually, this is one of the first ones I'm just going to come enjoy.
Wow. Well, I'll buy you some enjoyables.
Okay.
How about that?
I'll have fun with that.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
Trish. Yeah, appreciate you coming by. And Coach was going to come, but he's fishing. I said, stay fishing.
Yeah.
That's what he loves. That's what he deserves.
Hopefully, he'll bring us some fresh fish.
Yeah. he loves his fishing.
Yeah, he does.
I was looking forward to some Lakewood High stories. But, I forgot your Lakewood High. Congratulations.
I am Lakewood High, yes. Class of 85.
They got a good team, man.
Yeah, we do.
Great sports there.
We do.
Wow.
And my son, actually, their football season, he plays for Osceola, and they went 8-2 this year.
They did.
Okay, best.
Hey, get that coach in contact with me. I want to get him on the air. I've been bringing down the Boca Ciega kids.
Okay.
And we'll get him on the air. He can bring five seniors, and we'll do that soon.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'll talk to you.
I will get
with
him. Thank you.
All right, great.
Bye.
All right, Brandy.
Bye.
All over the place today, huh?
I know. Trish is the best. She is the best.
Thank you.
The reigning champ in terms of length of service.
Absolutely.
On the female side. But, Coach is the reigning champ.
But think about it. I have not met one of Ferg's employees that was not nice. I really have not.
You met me. I used to be employed by him.
I'm not talking about you.
Well, you said you haven't met one that wasn't nice, but I actually used to be employed by him. You've said I'm not nice sometimes.
I have never said you weren't nice.
How to dress.
Well, those are little things, you know.
Where's the sanitary stuff?
Here, I brought you the rest of my peanut butter crackers.
Yeah. No eating on the set. She breaks
all right,
it,
so
she
when I get upstairs, I'll, no eating on the set?
Exactly.
All right, all right.
Well,
no, this is amazing.
Well, it's been a great inaugural 2 hours on our network. I want to thank Mark Lindsay, of course. That cat, I could talk for an hour and get educated finally on the world of soccer.
The one thing I forgot to ask him was, you know,
I forgot about 20 things since, well, I have that many questions.
But they never have, you never see drafts on TV or anything like that. They don't do like a baseball draft or a basketball draft or NFL draft.
CBS Sports streaming.
They do.
They're huge soccer, and I keep that on just so that I can keep an eye on my team.
That's cockerel. They do all the drafts on that.
That's a cockerel. The Tatnam Cockerels.
Yes.
That was his favorite team growing up as a kid.
He had it on his shirt.
I know. Yeah. I wish I could. But he's in a hurry. He took the time to come by today, and he's on his way to Denver.
It's Iowa State 7 and Oklahoma 7.
Well, that's a 3.5-point.
I'm sorry. Oklahoma just went up 7
but don't
more.
Don't do a play-by-play if it's going to upset me.
I'm not going to get you upset.
Go Clones.
We're winding down the last few minutes.
Yeah, go Clones. In fact, that's a 3.5-point spread, and they're predicting that Iowa, this may be, Iowa State, this may be their upset.
Well, for my friend Matt, I know that Ohio State was kicking butt.
Over Michigan State?
Yep.
All right. Well, it's been an active day. I have a couple things we need to talk about this week, but I've been so immersed in the 4,000 things. And so I'll catch up with you this week, and we'll talk about those. I'll take you upstairs to show you the
absolutely,
the
yeah, that, I'm dying to see it.
All right, so for Mark Lindsay, our man Randy Grimes must have got
hit. No, I don't know what happened to Randy today. He said he was coming down.
What do you got going on for Thanksgiving?
I have friends coming in from New York, so I'm going to be doing the turkey gobble run at Crescent Lake at 9 o'clock on Thanksgiving morning with my family, and then later I'm going to Clearwater Beach to have Thanksgiving with some friends in from New York.
Well, I'm having spam, so I'll have my spam dinner all by myself. Anyway, for Mark Lindsay, Madman Mac, who was absolutely hilarious, Cameron Wembley stopped down to say hello, couldn't squeeze him in, Brandy Winans, Joe Berdreau, and Big Ed on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard, thanking you for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, wishing you and your families a fabulous Thanksgiving week. God bless you, God bless America, and be sure to have a championship week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.